Take your Bibles now, go to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Book of Colossians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. We'll be reading verses 11 through 13 responsively. I'll read verse 11, you'll join me in verse 12. We will all read verse number 13 together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 11. Bible says, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." All together on verse 13 now. "And to esteem them very highly in love for work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for the time we got to spend, Lord, being reminded, Lord, of your broken body and your shed blood. Lord, thank you for salvation. Lord, thank you for having a plan set in place. Lord, tonight, Lord, as we gather around your word, Lord, use our man of God, fill him with your Holy Spirit's power. Lord, encourage us, strengthen us, Lord. Teach us what we need for this week, Lord, to be a better testimony for you in this community. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I want to take just a portion of the scripture and lift it out. And honestly, we're going to live the scripture tonight. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it's very interesting. In verse number 11, it says, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another." Verse 13, it says, "And to esteem them very highly in the love for their work's sake." I want to kind of teach, preach, talk to you about edify and esteem. Edify and esteem. There's not a pastor in America that could love this church like I do. I mean that. There's nobody that can. There's nobody that I know of that could love you as much as I love you, and that's selfish for me to say, but I don't care. Brother Fugit and I were talking a couple weeks ago, and he said we were talking about trying to vote out certain county politicians and things. I said, "I hate voting so much that I didn't even get voted in on my church. I started one so I didn't have to get voted in as pastor." And he laughed. He said, "I didn't think about that one." Wait a minute. I love seeing God work in people's lives. Yes. I really do. I love looking across this congregation and seeing how God has worked in virtually every person's life that I know in this room. I was thinking of Brother Doug. I knew your mama. She was in my Sunday school class. She had that cackle when she laughed. Do you know what I mean? I miss that. I really do. She was a neat lady. She was my buddy. She used to sit in the back of my Sunday school class years and years and years ago. And honestly, a lot of her family didn't get saved until after Mama went to heaven. It took her going to heaven. Buddy, let me tell you, heaven rumbled for a while because she's still jumping around up there. Let me tell you. Now, wait a minute. I love watching God change lives. I love looking over here at Brother Don. A man came into our church and got saved on a Sunday night, came back on Wednesday night. I went and visited him on Saturday with Brother Barnes. He wasn't there, but his wife was there, so I won her to Christ sitting on the couch. They came Sunday morning. I talked to him about getting baptized. They said, we'll come back tonight and get baptized, but preacher, can we talk to you? I said, sure. Then I found out they were separated and weren't even, they're thinking about getting divorced. We met. And just a few weeks ago, we just renewed their vows here at church. Say, what is that? That's God. I love seeing God work.
Yes, sir.
I love to see God work. God helped us build this building on this property. And boy, it's been labor. It's been a lot of labor. Brother Larry and Brother Barnes and I, we couldn't get the county to get anything going, so we went out there and we started digging a hole out front so we could put that sign up out there. See why? I had to have some kind of progress. Something had to move. I put blood, sweat, and tears in that hole out there. So did Brother Larry and Brother Barnes. And I think you had one of your boys help a little bit, both of them. That's some hard dirt out there, let me tell you. And then the floods came. Lord have mercy. I have never seen, we had twice the normal rainfall last year while we were trying to build. Can I tell you that the devil didn't want this church building right here? But may I say, to the devil, the county didn't want it, nor did the devil, their adversary. But we're here. Let me say this. I've enjoyed growing closer to the Lord the last 7 years as a pastor. You don't understand something. I have to grow too. I'm doing pretty good. Actually, I've lost some of it. I got a little ways to go, but I've lost 8 pounds in the last 2 weeks. I'm trying to drop weight, hoping I live long enough it comes out my feet, but it just didn't work in that way, so you got to change something. We've come a long way from hotel conference rooms, rented buildings, a warehouse building, and then to the deluxe accommodations of Aiken Center. Say, preacher, why did it's what we could afford in order to save money to do what we're doing and be where we're at right now. It wasn't what I wanted to do, but tell you what, there were a lot of people got saved and a lot of lives changed there. A lot of lives influenced there. I don't understand it, but God never told me one time in the book to understand. He just said trust. He just says trust. I can't tell you all the whys. If I could, I'd be God, and you'd be in trouble if I were God for sure. I know I'd be in trouble if I were God for sure. May I say this? The preacher does not make Grace Baptist Church what Grace Baptist Church is. I believe God blesses the man of God. Yes, I do. Yes. I've been spoiled rotten. I don't know a group of people that love their preacher like this church loves me. I mean that. It's humbling. Whew. I don't know if you understand. I still get weak knees when people call me preacher. I know what that word means. And it humbles me. Grace Baptist Church is what Grace Baptist Church is because of you, not because of me. I get to kind of help herd cats. I mean, herd everybody, but I get to help kind of lead this thing, but I kind of want to publicly do what 1 Thessalonians 5 said tonight. I'd like to edify and esteem people for the work's sake. If you'll allow me, God tells us to edify and to esteem one another highly in love for the work's sake. I love each and every person in this room. Some of you I may have just met recently. Others I've known for a long time. Some I know well. Some I know you better than you think I know you. Right, Marcia? But I love each and every person in this church. We all have an important part in this church. And I'd like to take a little bit of time. I don't have the time to mention every person or maybe even every family in this room, but there are some that I feel like I need to mention publicly tonight. First of all, I'd like to thank God for the Barnes family. This church would not be what it is without Brother and Mrs. Barnes and Kirsten. A little girl over there that she was about 9 or 10 years old decided she'd start playing piano. Little did she know, God's going to use her to be the church pianist. And thank God she had the character to do it. And thank God for Brother Barnes. And I never want for anything that Evan Barnes is not there, let me tell you. If I said, Evan, I've got to dig a sewer tonight, he'd say, okay, preacher, I'll be over with my shovels. What do you need? He wouldn't think twice. He doesn't think once, let alone twice. But no, got you on that one, didn't I? Act first, think later, right? Yeah. hang on, Marcia, your turn's coming. Got you all scared now, don't I? Of course, Mrs. Barnes, for the last 6.5 years, has been our secretary, my secretary. And if you knew how hard a job that was, just ask my wife. And for a while, we didn't have an office. She worked from home. I worked from my home. Then we got into the building over here and kind of built some makeshift offices. And then we went to the deluxe accommodations of Aiken Center. And we had just enough room to turn around and do what we had to do and sit. You could do 3 things at once because you could reach the whole thing, you know. But thank God for her organization and her talent and her ability. Thank God for the Barnes family, even Wyatt. He brings levity to the place. You never know what noise or fluid is going to come from him. He's just all boy, and I love it. I love it, I love it, I love it. I remember the days when, after he was born, Mom would bring him to work and put him on the beanbag. Because he wouldn't sleep anywhere else but on the beanbag chair. And that's all right. Thank God for it. And I thank God for people like that. The Barneses are always out soul winning, always a part of just about anything and everything that takes place around here. I couldn't list everything that goes on. Brother Barnes has learned the PA system, and thank God for that, and puts up with me changing it here and there, but he understands it like I do, and it's okay. I want to thank God for my mom and dad. Amen. Not many people get to pastor their parents. Not many pastors get to have their daddy on their deacon board, but I'm privileged to, and I mean that. I thank God for a godly home and parents who made sure I was reared in church, made sure I had what I needed, and they even helped me through Bible college. Thank God for them. They put up with me all these years. You say, well, you live in the same town as your parents. Isn't it great? If you've been as busy as I have the last couple of years, I honestly haven't seen them a whole lot more than outside of church. Been a bad son to be a pastor, but I'm working at it. Thank God for my mom and dad. I want to thank God for Wally and Fred. Well, at least Wally. I remember the first time Wally came, and she was just in shock. And she kind of came in, and she had a few questions. And she said, can I ask you some questions? And I could tell she had been hurt by somebody, and I couldn't tell who or what. And I said, Wally, you can't ask me anything that will bother me. She said, well, I don't know about that. And she asked question after question after question, and she just cried and cried and cried. She said, finally, somebody's been able to tell me the answers to the questions. And then we talked about her husband, and she said, oh, don't go see Fred. He'll kick you out of the house. I said, they don't make him that tough. Oh, he's stubborn. I said, do you know me? I remember standing on your front, at your front door, Fred. You're standing in your bare feet. It must have been about 40 degrees out and raining and half snow. I know we stood there a half hour and I was freezing. He just stand there. We talked for a while. He was lost as a goose in a snowstorm, but he decided for some reason that Baptist preacher wore him down. He wanted to come see what I was all about. He came to church for months before he got saved. Almost died 3 times, literally. He was hours from death a couple times. I'd look at him and say, Fred, you got to get saved. I'm not ready yet. But if you die, you're going to go to hell. I know I'm not ready yet. I'm thinking, oh, God, don't let him die yet. I remember the day I got to win him to Christ sitting in the living room. My wife and Wally were sitting at the table in the dining room praying while I led Fred to the Lord. What a changed man he is. He's still got a lot of changing to do, but we come miles, all right? You know, when you got continents to move, you can only go a little bit at a time here. Thank God for Fred and Wally, such sweet people. I look back and see Miss Kim back there. Honestly, I know we knocked on doors and she got a track, and I don't even know who knocked on the door, if it was me even. I have honestly no idea, never asked because I'm afraid to. But what a sweet lady. She came, and boy, what an addition. And out soul winning for the last couple of years, and just always in her place, helping my wife in Sunday school and helping here and there. What a precious lady. She's my buddy. I love Miss Kim and her family. And then Larry and Sherry back there. I don't know two people that are probably more special to this preacher than those two. I mean that. They do work around here you have no idea of. And if I told you, it won't ever get done again. Because they don't want attention. I feared that when our first service, because I had a plaque to put on our big sign out there that to remember Brother Larry for doing all that work out there. And I knew he was going to be mad at me because he's just not that kind of guy. But I already told Miss Sherry, and she said, oh, he's going to be mad. I said, I know, but I'll get through it. And but just such precious people. Thank God that God brought them into our lives and into our church. They clean and work around here and do different things. And I promise you, if I had a need at 2:00 in the morning and I picked up the phone and said, Brother Larry, he'd be at my house at 2:05. I guarantee it. I don't have any doubt at all about it. None whatsoever. And of course, Mike and Arlene. Been through a lot. You'll never know. Neither one of them. The day we walked into that hotel room, and here come Mike and Arlene. I looked at my wife. I said, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Thank God for people like this. Brother Mike's been huge help with the construction of this building and different things. He plays dumb, but he's not that stupid, trust me. He talks, not even close. He's helped us so much. And we got to a point in this project, and the Lord had woke me up about 2:00 one morning, and something wasn't right, and I came out here, and something wasn't right, and I called Brother Mike, and I'm standing at the work site talking to the excavators, and I said, shut it down. We had to go through about 4 months of re-engineering some things and getting some things done, but thank God he saved us hundreds of thousands of dollars just with a bit of advice one day. And I thank God I'm not afraid to listen to a man like Brother Mike. Doesn't mean he's always right, but I've learned to listen to him. And if he's not right, Arlene always is. Did I say that right, Mike? Got it. Super. I love these two people. Givers. And I mean biblical givers. I'm not talking just money. I'm talking about they give their life. These are good people. Watch Brother Mike jump on that bus every day, every Sunday, just as proud as a peacock. Say why? He loves picking up boys and girls and teenagers to bring them to church. Man. You talk about a man. Right there it is. Appreciate that. Brother Randy and Miss Leanne, remember the day you first came to the luxurious apartments of Aiken Center. Yeah. And they probably walked in thinking, what in the world are we getting into? But we thought the same thing, just so you know. Not about you, but about the place. Yeah, it was very tight, but they came, and when people come that are already churched, I tremble a little bit because I don't want to take anybody away from their church necessarily, but I had to ask because if they went to another church, I wasn't going to follow up on them. And they said, oh, no, we're kind of in transition right now, and he began to tell the story, but then they came back. And he had been playing piano in another church that he wasn't even a member of. And he said, well, we can't be here on Sunday morning, but we'll be here Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And they started coming and learning and growing, and they just kind of latched on to us. Unfortunately, they sat over by Marcia and Ellen and that crew and got corrupted. And yeah, it was all downhill from there. But thank God for them. The reason that piano's sitting there right there is because of that man and that lady right there. He called me one night. He said, preacher, we're getting ready to join the church, and we've got some money, and I was in a piano store. I probably shouldn't have been, but we've got a deal. And I said, Brother Randy, I said, my initial response is, let's go for it, but I've got a piano, and I'm going to say no. And we talked for a while. I said, man, I want it, but I don't know. Number one, we didn't have a place to keep it. He said, well, they'll keep it at the store. Oh, don't tell me that. We talked for about 20 minutes that night. My mom was at the nursing home rehabbing. I went back to the room, and I said, that was Brother Randy. I said, he found a grand piano for us for a real good deal. It would only cost the church about $3,000. And my wife said, you told him yes, didn't you? I said, no, I told him no. My mom, what'd you do that for? As only my mother can say to me, or my wife. And my wife was echoing, what'd you do that for? I said, well, let me think about it. I thought about it through the night, and I called Brother Randy the next morning, and I said, you know, it is a pretty good deal. We're going to need something nice. He said, well, I'll try, preacher. Let me see. And sure enough, by the end of that day, we had us a piano. But what good spirit. What sweet people. Scott and Jamie and the girls. I won't go into it, but kind of got one of those 911 calls. I was driving back from Montana from elk hunting. And life wasn't going as good for them then. I began to talk, and as soon as I got back in town, the first visit I made, drove up to Boonesboro, knocked on the door. We began to talk and got them back into church and started watching God use them. By the way, Scott filled in, taught Sunday school for Brother Mike while Brother Mike was gone, did a fantastic job. And you ain't done yet, dude, just so you know. You don't know the plans I got for you yet. Watching the girls grow and work on the bus route. And can I tell you something? God's good. I sat back there last Sunday, Brother Mike. Brother Scott, you were teaching. I had to leave. I was overwhelmed. So I listened to that man say, if somebody ever said something about my preacher, they got to go through me first. Pointing that big old long finger of his out at. I knew what he meant by that. I had to go to my office for a moment and get control. I didn't take that lightly. Say, what is that? Thank God for people that work. Brother Scott behind the scenes does an awful lot of work for families in this church. An awful lot. Very capable people, by the way. But very humble. Just serving God. I love it. Of course, Joe and Leanne. Yes. Good night. I've known Joe and Leanne since Noah got off the ark. They were on the ark with him. I wasn't. Yeah. I've known Mrs. Lopez for 35 years. Probably known Joan about 30 plus, over 30 years for sure. You talk about good, solid, dedicated people. Yes, sir. Of course, Brother Lopez, in my opinion, the greatest junior church worker in America, sitting right there. We kind of discovered it by accident, both of us. But I promise you, there's not a better junior church preacher or worker than Joe Lopez anywhere in America. Say, if you had to choose one person in America, who do you want, preacher? Joe Lopez. Of course, Mrs. Lopez, she's our bus captain, stepped up when Brother Stoltz went to heaven. Mrs. Lopez, she's into everything. She's everywhere at the same time. How she does it and keeps it all going, I don't know, but thank God for Joe and Leanne. By the way, again, very capable. Joe's an electrician. Joe worked for me in other places as a janitor, and he's done everything. If I had a commode plugged up, Joe would be the first one to say, preacher, can I work on it for you? He'd volunteer. That's the kind of man he is. I don't know about you. That's not one of those jobs I want to volunteer for. And Joe knows. I've unclogged a whole bunch of them with him. Amen. I love kids when they take whole rolls of toilet paper and flush them at one time, you know. And then 14 people use it after that. And it's like, oh, God bless us. Thank God for Joe and Leanne. Solid people. I look back at Wiley and Mung. Yeah. These are good, solid serving people. Brother Wiley jumping in as a substitute bus driver, working out in the parking lot. Mung, she's all the time cleaning something around here. She's afraid of germs, so she just kills them all. She has a war on germs, amen? But great spirit. And Mung, she is the shopaholic and coupon queen. She goes shopping and the store pays her. I don't know how she does it. She got some kind of racket going, but she's got it, let me tell you. But many people have been blessed by Mung, let me tell you. Just sweet, humble, serving people. Say, preacher, what makes Grace Baptist Church what it is? I'm telling you. Amen. I'm telling you. Got Harry and Kathy back there. I don't know two more sweet people in all this world, and people that give at a different level. Amen. They give themselves to everything they do. You ladies have been blessed by Kathy and many times don't even know it. They're very quiet about it. Brother Harry, just rock solid. Well, I'm not talking about your head. I'm talking about... But these are two precious people. I remember being down in D.C. and Brother Harry was having a heart cath done. My wife and I drove down to be with him because I knew he was in pretty bad shape. And I wanted to be there, and the Lord told me something wasn't going to be right. And they came back and five of his arteries needed surgery, and two of them were about to explode. They showed the heart cath, and normally they're about the size of your thumb, maybe just a little smaller. These things were about this big around. And I'm thinking, he couldn't walk from here to the door without going and turning gray. And they said, oh, well, Thanksgiving's next week. You can go home and have Thanksgiving and then come back for surgery. And I said, Brother Harry, don't get out of that bed. I'm going to tell you something, doctor. Can he have surgery today or tomorrow? And I said, Brother Harry, I said, I don't normally do this, but don't you even get out of that bed. Miss Kathy, I'm sorry, but if Harry gets out of that bed, he's going to die. Doc, can he have surgery today or tomorrow? Well, I don't know. I said, go find out. I talked to him over the bed, and I said, I'm sorry, I've never done this in my entire ministry. But I'm telling you, if you don't get surgery soon, you are going to die. And I don't want to do your funeral right now. I think they did it the next day. They got him on bypass, and just after they got him on bypass, both of those arteries blew. Had he not been on bypass, he would have been dead. Now, that wasn't me, that was God. Yes, sir. That's God. But boy, you talk about sweet people. And then there's Sam and his family, Sam and Jeannie. They don't know how much we prayed for them. God. Remember the day you walked in to Aiken Center. The luxurious accommodations. Poor Sam had to walk through the door sideways to get in, you know? Like the rest of us. But boy, they've been through a lot of hard times. A lot of spiritually hard, abusive times. And they came and found a place where people would love on them. Now Sam's ushering, doing just about anything and everything. Gotta love it. Love that smile. And I love watching Sam walk down that aisle and stick that old chest out there. Whew, I love it. I love it. And Chris Cave back there. There's a history there. And Chris has been through a lot. And I'll be honest with you. I never expected to ever see Chris at our church. I'd been through some things to where I couldn't just initiate it. But I remember the day she walked in, pretty apprehensive. But I watched her while I preached, and she was trying not to melt, but she melted. And she came back. And she came back. And oh my. Such ability that she has. And boy, what a sweet servant she is. And a couple weeks ago she sang and just thrilled my heart. Not just the song, but what God's doing to put her back together. Got their sweet little grandkids. Thank God for Bailey. And Jimbo and Loretta. You talk about two precious people. Now, yeah. Oh my. Two people that a lot of people in what we would call the religious world would kind of cast them aside. I don't know how many dozens and dozens and dozens of people have been saved because of those two people right there. They may not win them, but they'll say, hey, preacher, can you go see so-and-so? They need to get saved. And boy, they get saved. They got them prepped for me to go. Jimbo, a couple months ago, he said, there's somebody down at the flea market, preacher. I've been telling them about you, and you need to go see them. Banged on the trailer and won the man to Christ that day. Say, why? That was Jimbo, not me. I mean, lots of people. And they're just everywhere. And she's related to everybody. And if she's not, he is. Let me tell you. I mean, between them and the Coles, I think everybody in Berkeley and Jefferson County are related to 2DNA, you know? Man, I love it. I love it. And others. Good night, Miss Lily. She's been coming last several months, and she went out soul winning this last weekend. And what a sweet and precious lady. I could go on and on. Miss Marcia, God brought her here from Iowa. Of all places, a Jew that got saved from Iowa. You talk about a misplaced duck in a snowstorm. Flying backwards and upside down at the same time. Man. And yet God knit her heart to our church. And boy, what a precious addition she has been.
Yes, sir.
And then Ellen, she's trying to hide, not working. Ellen's one of those people that she's very capable. Yeah. And behind the scenes, very quietly, let me rephrase that. She's just somebody that's there when you need her. And she's always there. Appreciate Ellen, and she expresses her love to my wife and I many, many, many times, many different ways, always appropriate. Thank God for Ellen.
Yes.
And I mean this, thank God for Josh and Ruthann being here.
Yes.
I know what it's like to move and be in the ministry, and of course they were in in Kentucky for a little while and then went to Florida, and they were actually working in Ruth Ann's home church where she grew up. And then I made a call and snatched them away. And that's not easy. But thank God that they're here. And boy, you talk about two people that can carry a load. Just feed him a bale of hay and watch him go, you know? Believe me, I fed him a bunch of bales before. Thank God they're good spirit and hard work ethic. And Ruth Ann is one of the sweetest young ladies. She has to be to put up with him. Let me tell you, we warned you. You did it anyway, but we warned you. I never forget the first time we met. I'm going to tell on you, son. We drove over to meet Josh's girlfriend. So we got there and he said, "Dad, can we all go to dinner?" I said, "Sure." So we picked a time we were supposed to meet. And I got there and Josh is in his work clothes. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I got to go to work. You're taking Ruth Ann out tonight. See you later." And he left. Cross my heart, hope he dies. I mean, that's honest to goodness truth. That's what happened, isn't it? And I looked at her, I said, "Sweetie, you don't have to go if you don't want to. I understand. I cannot." I said, "He was trained better than that, I promise you." Well, she went anyway, and she went out to eat with my wife and I and Jeff and Mindy. Thank God Mindy was there to talk her ear off for a while. She found out how crazy we really were. And she did it anyway and married him. Thank God for that. What a sweet young lady. And then my wife. Whew. Couldn't do it without her. Not at all. Y'all don't understand what it takes to be in spiritual battle like we are. And I try not to take the battles home. And just so you know, she doesn't know your problems because I don't take them home. If you talk to me, I don't talk to her about you, just so you know. She honestly does not hear anything negative. You say, "Why? Why would I go home and discourage her? I need her to cheer me back up because of your problem." We've been through a lot of battles together, put a lot of miles on together. And yet, she's always sweet. She's always behind the scene. She's always that solid. She's just rock solid all the time. She's the cutest little bulldog you've ever met, let me tell you. If you've never been soul winning with her, you don't know what I mean by that, but trust me, she can say things that I'd get decked for. Big old tough man will just to her, and I'm thinking, man, if I said that, you'd knock my head off. And yet, she doesn't clamor for attention. She's not somebody that has to be in the limelight. Matter of fact, when she is, she's ready to kill me. Because she doesn't like the limelight. She likes being that backstage light and just touching everybody individually. But you ladies know what I'm talking about. She knows how to love you. A couple years ago, she said, "Oh, I'm going to make sure that every lady on their birthday gets something from me." She took that on herself. I didn't ask her to do it. Good night. I can't hardly remember my own, let alone somebody else's. She'd got it down. And thank God. Say, "Preacher, what makes Grace Baptist Church what it is?" You just heard. You just heard. Let me give you four statements, I promise you, and we'll be done. Number one, God's not done. He wants us to reach more people. You know, if everybody would reach somebody, we could double our crowd. I'm just asking you to reach one. That's it. Everybody reach somebody. And that's how it works. Number two, let's let God use us as he wants and as he desires. And let's not desire what other people do. "Well, so-and-so got that and I wanted that position." Why are you looking for a position? How about we just say, "God used me to reach whoever I could reach." Man, I watch some of you work with our junior church kids and how you love on those junior church kids. Man, I love it. We need nursery workers. We need junior church workers. We're going to start some new Sunday school classes before too awful long. You say, where are we going to put them? I got my office and I got this room. So we're going to start two classes before too awful long. We're going to make this thing happen. Say, why? Because we got the space. If it's not used, let's use it. Number three, we're here to build a local common man's church. We're not seeking to change the nation or the world, but if we'll build a local church, God will use us to change a nation and a world. I believe that. I really believe that if we'll do our part, God will take care of the rest. I'm not looking to have big national conferences. I'm so tired of conferences. It makes me want to vomit. I've run national conferences and been a part of the national conference scene for about 25 years. I've had enough conferences. I don't need a conference to get me excited. If I got to go to a conference because I need to get encouraged, I'm not right with God.
Right.
I'm just going to say it. These preachers run from conference to conference to conference to conference to get encouraged. What happened to the Word of God in his own church people?
Amen.
This is what encourages me. I told Brother Josh when you come on board, I said, we're not going to go to a bunch of conferences. I said, you can take our teenagers to youth conference because God knows they need it. And they do. They need to get away from mom and dad, and they need to get away and be around other young people. And I get that. I have no problem with that. But I said, you and I, we're not going to be traveling to a bunch of conferences. You say, why? Because if we can't get excited and encouraged by what we're doing here, we're not doing enough. Period. I don't need another conference. I need to do what I taught in all those conferences. That's what it's all about. Number four, and I'm done. Let's never lose the spirit of Grace Baptist Church. No matter how big we get, no matter how many people we add, no matter what happens, how about we just stay Grace Baptist Church all the way through to the end? I'm tired of these churches that are changing. You're looking at one old preacher that's too stubborn to change on the Word of God. Too stubborn to change on the old-fashioned way. I've watched the modern way. I've watched some of my friends go the modern way. And I watch where they're ending up. And I want nothing to do with it. We're going to stick with the book. We're going to stick with each other. And you're stuck with me, like it or lump it. Nah, 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 nah. I just believe that we ought to just do it the way God said do it. Let's keep his spirit. You know, if we're filled with his spirit, that will fill our church with his spirit.
Right.
And that's what makes this church what it is. The Bible says that we ought to edify and esteem for the work's sake. Well, folks, there's a lost and dying world out there. About 200,000 people within Jefferson and Berkeley County that are dying and going to hell. How about we go reach them? How about we go reach them? How about we decide we're going to go soul winning? How about we decide we're going to get involved? We're going to be at things like we should be so that we can be strong enough to do those things and to help people when they come. You had no idea. A lady walked into this church today. He and I stood at her door this week, and her husband left her this week. And she came to church this morning. Say why? Because she was hurting and in need. I got excited when she walked in. Say why? Because, boy, when she walked out and shook my hand, she said, thank you, I needed that. I said, I know you did, and I needed it too, and I needed you to be here. You don't know the heartache behind the doors. How about we just keep that Grace Baptist Church spirit like it is? How about we get humble before God and decide we're going to get involved and we'll do what God says. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. We're starting our 8th year tomorrow. What are you going to let God use you to do at Grace Baptist Church?